documentary about the Michael Jordan era Chicago Bulls. It's called The Last Dance, and it's about the 1997-98 season. The team was seeking to pull off a second three-peat, winning its third NBA championship in 3 years, its sixth since 1991. But there was a dispute between management and players like Jordan about whether to repeat or rebuild the team.
We're entitled to defend what we have until we lose it.
Well, joining me now is the director of The Last Dance, Jason Hare. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, what is it like releasing this documentary right now when so many people are so hungry for sports, but they can't get them?
It's a privilege, honestly. I think that our team is all really happy that we can get this out. There's a dearth of programming out there, and there's also just a dearth of human connection, and so many people feel that connection through sports, whether attending games or just being a fan online or in person with your friends. So to give people new sports content right now and be able to give people a little bit of a distraction, a little bit of an escape from all this this chaos is something that we take seriously, and we're grateful for the responsibility.
Well, in the title, The Last Dance was a phrase used to describe the 1997-1998 Bulls season. It was coined by coach Phil Jackson. He talks about it in your film. Let's take a listen.
I talked to the players about particularly how important it was for us to really be together in this last run that we were going to have. So I called it The Last Dance.
Why was this the last run that Phil Jackson was going to have with the Chicago Bulls when they were doing so well?
As so many things come down to, it came down to money. Ownership was of the opinion that most of the key players on the Bulls at that point, except for Michael Jordan, were past their prime years, and they were carrying higher and higher price tags as the years went by. So they thought at some point we have to break this team up and rebuild, so let's try and do that before the 97-98 season. Now that the summer before the 97-98 season was tumultuous, and it resulted with Phil Jackson being offered a one-year contract. Jerry Krause, the GM, told him, you can go 82-0 this season, and no matter what, you're not coming back next year. And Michael Jordan had made it clear that he was not going to play for any other coach besides Phil Jackson. So in essence, what management was doing when they told Phil, you have one more year, was they were breaking up the dynasty.
You know, you mentioned Jerry Krause, the general manager. I have to say that as a viewer of this, he does not, in hindsight, come off looking like he's making the greatest decisions, although you could also say he was very shrewd.
He was certainly shrewd in building. He was the architect of that dynasty from back until the mid-80s when he took over. He, as we'll see in the series, gave Phil Jackson his first coaching opportunity when Phil was ready to leave basketball in the 80s and become a lawyer. Jerry Krause saved his career, and I do think he deserves the credit for architecting this team. The thing is, he's not camera-friendly. He's an easy guy to ridicule, but by the end of the series, I think we gave him his just due.
And what about Michael Jordan? He is obviously a central player in this documentary. He speaks to you in this documentary. What did you learn about him as a teammate, as a competitor, and as a player?
I think what I learned, we all know, people who are basketball fans and maybe even people outside of basketball circles know about Michael's legendary competitiveness and this ferocious drive to win at all costs. I think what I learned about him is that, as ridiculous as it sounds, Michael Jordan was not the best athlete in the NBA. He wasn't even probably the best athlete on the Bulls. What set him apart was his work ethic and this relentless will to be the best at all times. They talk about his aversion to losing, and he certainly had that, but he wasn't a sore loser. He was okay with losing as long as he had put forth his best effort. And he was taught this from a very early age by his parents. You do your best all the time, and there is no other option except doing your best. These were lessons he learned in his backyard and carried with him all throughout his career with the Bulls.
Do you think he has any regrets now about how he treated his teammates, given his desire to win at all costs?
No, I don't. I think that it was calculated at times. He was tougher than he needed to be at times. He understood that this was going to separate him from his teammates if he was that intense every day, if he was that much of a perfectionist every day. This is not something that's going to endear him and be one of the guys. Will Perdue is one of his teammates from the first three-peat in the early 90s. And Will says, Michael was a but in the same breath, he says, but he was a great teammate. He brought the best out in all of us. And that was Michael's impetus from day one.
You know, you spend a lot of time also talking about the other players on the team, and they're famous in their own right, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, et cetera. Do you do that, though, in part because this was a team, and Michael wasn't alone on that court, and he really did benefit from these other very, very impressive players?
Absolutely. As fascinating as Michael is, no one can take 10 hours of a story about one person. And oftentimes, the people who are a little bit in the background, the supporting cast, are just as interesting, if not more interesting, than the main character. Scottie Pippen is maybe the most fascinating character in the documentary, considering where he came from. Scottie was born into abject poverty in Hamburg, Arkansas, a town of about 2,000 people. He lived with his siblings and his parents, 13 people under one roof. His dad was confined to a wheelchair after a stroke. His brother was confined to a wheelchair after a wrestling accident. He came up with the toughest of tough conditions, was not recruited to go to any college. But from the time he was a kid, he believed he was going to the NBA. And he had no business believing that because he was not that good a player as a young boy. As his career developed, his confidence grew as well. And the next thing you know, he is now considered one of the top 50 players in the history of the NBA. So it sounds ridiculous to say that the Bulls of the 90s were underdogs. But when you take it apart piece by piece and you examine each piece of this team and each character on the team, each one of them was an unlikely hero.
Pippen was one of the top 50 players in the NBA, but wasn't even one of the top 100 when it comes to salary.
Mm-hmm. He signed a very conservative contract in 1991, which is 7 years for about $18 million. Now, we examine the reasons why he chose to sign such a conservative contract, and it has to do with what I just mentioned about needing to support his family. He has a very large family that was poor back in Arkansas, and he mm-hmm. saw that it could all go away in a flash. You could end up in a wheelchair after a wrong turn. So he was the 122nd highest paid player in the league in 1997-98, and you can make a very good case that he was the second best player in the league. He wasn't even in the top five highest paid players on the Bulls.
Even for the biggest sports fans, your documentary has a lot of never before seen video. It's got interviews with people like Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. How did you get all of them to talk to you? And how did you find this video that had not been seen before?
A lot of people will pick up the phone if you call and you say you're doing a documentary about the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan and you're interested in talking to them. With presidents, it's a little bit different. So that's when you need the big guns, and Michael helped us there. Michael has a relationship with Barack Obama, and he has a relationship with Bill Clinton. Those kind of people and their handlers are never picking up the phone if Jason Hare calls, but they're picking it up on the first ring if Michael Jordan calls.
Right.
And he was very generous with his assistants and with his time, and when they knew that Michael endorsed this and was going to be a part of a product, his reputation precedes itself, so it made it easy for us to line up all these interviews.
I want to finally ask you, Jason, here, having put this documentary together and spent all this time looking at the Bulls in their heyday, how do you think the Bulls would stack up to, let's say, the Golden State Warriors of today? And how do you think Michael Jordan stacks up in terms of being possibly the best basketball player of all time? Or is he not when you look at some of the more recent stars?
I think that from the pure perspective of how hard it was to build this and how hard it was to maintain it. You know, the Warriors had their three-peat and other teams have repeated and other players have won multiple titles. Michael and the Bulls won three in a row and then he took 2 years off and they won three more. One of my favorite stats about that era is that every time Michael Jordan showed up for the first day of training camp for the Bulls in the 1990s, they won the NBA title. Every time. That tells you all you need to know about his greatness.
That is Jason Hare, who is director of The Last Dance. That's a new documentary about the 1997-98 Chicago Bulls. It debuts Sunday on ESPN. Jason, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me. Stay safe.
And you can see a trailer for the documentary at our website, hereandnow.org.